It's always a joy to have the opportunity to give a word of personal testimony. I suppose my story would be very similar to the vast majority of people who stem back from the late 40s, the early 50s. I mean by that I was born into a Presbyterian and a farming home. My parents weren't Christians at that time, but nevertheless, they were God-fearing people. And so as was the custom, I was sent along to Sabbath school with my brother Norman. There were only the two of us at that time, we were now four. And we were sent along as children to the Sabbath school, and there we were made to learn and to memorize the shorter catechism. In those days, you didn't only memorize the catechism in the Sabbath school, you also had to do it in school. And then the minister would come around at the end of the school year and he would examine you in the catechism. As I say, there was no influence of the gospel in my life, at least in those early years. The Presbyterian church we attended, like so many at that time, had no gospel to preach, sad to say. But nevertheless, the influence of the gospel in my life was from a very, very early age. And that came about because my mother, by the grace of God, through listening to the gospel on the radio, was converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. I can remember that. In fact, it's one of my earliest recollections. And I remember that because of the transformation that even stood out in my mind. And my mind still goes back to that time. The transformation in our home. Because I can remember how my mother, all of a sudden, having never done it before, began to gather my brother and myself around her knee to tell us the stories from the Bible, to read the scriptures to us, and to pray with us, and to pray for us. So from that early age, we were taken along. There was no afternoon service in the Presbyterian church. It was a country church. But we went to many gospel services almost every Sabbath evening. And I can remember on so many occasions, literally sitting in the seat and holding, literally holding on to the seat, where I was trembling under conviction of sin as the Spirit of God dealt with me. And there was one theme in particular that I used to dread to hear preached, and that was the subject of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the simple reason, I knew I wasn't saved. And I knew if the Lord came, I wasn't ready to meet with him. I mentioned on Saturday night, as so often is the case, in one of those meetings, in fact it was in Portrush, I remember putting up my hand in the meeting, but I remember afterwards trying to slip out unnoticed, and one of the stewards there noticed me going out and put his hand on me, and he says, you come with me into the inquiry room. And there, of course, they took us through the procession. We prayed a prayer, but I have to say, tragically, there was no reality to that profession on that night. As I grew older, came into the teenage years, I started to fight and rebel against the gospel, not openly, but in my own heart. I tried to do everything, making all kinds of excuses, always having something to do or somewhere to go. And at that time it was easy because my father was not then a believer. And so we were able to play, my brother and myself, in this way. And when he was going somewhere else, my mother would be going to the gospel meeting, he would be going to do something else. And so we would decide to go along with him. And so it was that there was this rebellion against the gospel. I remember as a young person coming in to, I suppose, around 16 years of age, my brother and an uncle, Fred Buick, we started to chum up together and we would run around together. And we had all kinds of plans and ideas, and amongst all the plans and ideas, it was of course Fred who came up with the idea that we would form a dance band. And so we bought the instruments and we began our practices. I remember we did it in the byre in our farmyard. And I'm sure the cows weren't amused. I would imagine the milk went down as a result of it. But we never did get to stardom. In fact, we never even got to the stage. But the Lord intervened and frustrated those plans. And then a little after that, I was always very interested in motorcycle racing. I remember I wanted to get a motorcycle. I wanted to get involved in motorcycle racing. I had already chummed up at that time with Mervyn Robinson, who, of course, was killed in the Northwest 200. And I remember my father, who had more sense than I had, he put his foot down and said, there will be no motorcycles here in this home. That, of course, didn't keep us from still going to all the motorcycle races here in Northern Ireland. But I can remember, too, that I had no interest in farming. Of course, from a very early age, we were brought into farming. You had to do your part. And I remember how I used to like the tractor work, getting out to the fields early in the morning, ploughing, for example, at this time of the year, right into dark night. And I used to think that was tremendous. But what I hated was to have to do the work in the farmyard. And so when it came to the stage where my brother Norman, I'm 14 months older than he is, and when he was ready to leave school, I'd already left school at this time, and I was working on the farm at home. And knowing that he was about to leave school, I said to my father, I want to serve as an apprentice for an electrician. An uncle found me a job in Portlanoan, and I thought this was great, because not only am I getting away from this job I don't like, but I'm getting away from home. And I went to stay in Portlanoan with an uncle and an aunt. And what was my surprise the very first day that I arrived at my work, the brother of the boss was a fervent Christian. And I can remember him preaching to him, and I can also remember there were two doors. He would be coming in one door and I would be going out the other. But there were the occasions when he got me in the corner and he certainly let me have the gospel. I had already moved back home and I was working in Ballymena. I remember coming home one evening from work and my mother met me with the news. She said that Two Faith Mission Pilgrims had been in and that they had requested a piece of ground at the end of our lane. They were going to set up a portable hall and they were going to have a mission. And she says, I want you two boys to attend that mission. Now, I didn't say anything, but in my heart I was saying plenty. But the first few nights I remember how we were able to evade going to the meetings. But you know, looking back, it's wonderful to see the mercy of the Lord, to see the goodness and the providence of God, the leading of the Lord. I remember we were sitting in my grandmother's house, Fred Norman and I. We were thinking about what we'd be doing that evening. And an aunt who was there, she said, well, why don't you go down to the mission? The mission has been going now for a few nights. Why don't you go down there? You have nothing else to do. And before I had any time to say anything, Fred said, well, I suppose we could do that. And so we went down to the mission that night. What do you think the preacher preached on? He preached on the coming again of the Lord. What conviction. I remember trembling in that meeting. Night after night, we attended that mission. And on the 1st of February, 1967, the work of grace was done in my heart. And also in Fred's heart. And on the 5th of February, my brother Norman also came to the Lord. That was a tremendous mission. It was a tremendous change in our home. And from that very moment, there was that desire in all of our hearts. We had been zealous to serve the devil and to seek after the things of the world. Well, there was now greater zeal to serve the Lord and to glorify Him. Of course, we then became very unhappy with the Presbyterian church that we were living in at that time, and being aware of the preaching that was going on concerning the ecumenical movement, we then made the decision to go out to the Cabra Church, the Free Presbyterian Church in Cabra, which is now, of course, in Ballymoney. Reverend Alan Kearns was the minister there at that time. And I thank God for those first years that we had the opportunity to sit under his ministry. What a privilege it was. What a learning time it was. A time when the grace of God really worked in all of our lives. So much so that very soon the Lord began to work in my heart concerning serving Him in some other capacity. I remember coming home one evening from work really concerned and really troubled, and going straight into my bedroom, I just got down on my knees at the side of the bed. I said, Lord, I can't go any further. I can't go on with this battling. I said, Lord, whatever You want, You do with my life. And I trembled as I said that, because I knew that the Lord was certainly going to do something. And I remember speaking to Mr. Kearns after that, and he said, well, the best thing to do is to start making preparation. You're sure that the Lord has called you. You don't know what. You don't know whether it's a minister at home. You don't know whether it's the mission field. Whatever. You start your preparation. So I made application and was accepted into the theological hall and did the 3-year ministerial course there. And during the time I was in the theological hall, the Lord made it very clear that He wanted us to go and serve Him in the land of Spain. The Lord willing, I mentioned this here on Saturday night, and it's almost a kind of a coincidence. We're going back this Friday, returning back to Madrid. If we had to wait it one more day, on Saturday will be the day that we will celebrate, if you like, 36 years since we left Ulster to go out there to Spain. We look back. I look back over all of those years, especially thinking of today more than ever, because our brother said to me this morning, he thought he had said to me before to give me some warning, but he said to me this morning just before we come into the pulpit, he said, by the way, did I say to you I wanted you to give your testimony? And so today, of course, there in the afternoon, I've been thinking about it and how it has stirred and rejoiced my heart to think of the grace of God, the marvel of the workings of grace in our life. Could I say to you tonight, if you're here in this meeting without Christ, there is no better life than to live the life for Christ and with Christ. And may it please the Lord even to use this simple testimony tonight to bring you to that place of saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you very much.